This is an encore presentation of Faith and Sport on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network. Tune in to hear a brand new edition of Faith and Sport Monday afternoons from 5 to 6 on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, 1270 AM. Also streaming at CarolinaCatholicRadio.org and on the Carolina Catholic Radio app. Well, it's that time again. What time, you ask? Faith and Sport time, of course, on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network, AM 1270 Charlotte. Also streaming at CarolinaCatholicRadio.org and on the Carolina Catholic Radio app. We're also a co-production of Radio Maria, so welcome back to all of our Radio Maria listeners for a brand new edition of Faith and Sport. I'm Chris, the producer of the show. And now, without further ado, the one, the only, the incomparable, Dr. John Acquaviva.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. However, wherever you are joining us, I'm Dr. John Acquaviva. I teach exercise physiology down the road at Wingate University. But every week I come over here, I jump into a phone booth, I put on a cape, a mask, and it says F&S on the front of my, right on the front of my, and it's, you know, it stands for Faith and Sport. And we do this show where we apply our Catholic faith to all aspects of sport. So whether you're a fan, whether you are a parent, a grandparent of an athlete, whether you're an athlete yourself, administrator, referee, however you're involved in sport, this is the show for you. This is where we look at sport through a Christian lens. Thank you for joining us today, folks. Here's what we're going to do today. We're going to discuss all things sport, including our hit or miss with Carlos Herrera. As always, he's going to join us in the first part of the show. He's going to be on with us in 1 minute, and then we're going to do weekend headlines. And then after the break, we have our special guest is John LaManna. He's the head basketball coach at Whitman College, and he is here to talk to us about how he instills virtue into his program there at Whitman College. He is a friend of the show, and he's a former guest of the show. He's been on a couple times. He's great. You're going to love what he has to talk about and how he instills this virtue into his program. We're going to do the quick Q&A at the end, and through it all, we're going to talk with Chris, and we're going to have a good old time. Buddy, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I was kind of let down last night, though, by my Wolfpack with that loss to Syracuse. Man, that was a close one, a nail-biter. I thought they had it there in the end, and then Syracuse just took the win.
Right out of your sails, brother. But there's another game coming up, isn't there?
That's right. And the game before last night, they played a good game against Wake Forest and had a good win in that game. So hopefully the game coming up with the University of Virginia, they'll get a win.
That's going to be a tough one because that's a ranked team there.
I know.
But, yeah, good luck to your Wolfpack.
Thank you.
My team, the Michigan Wolverines, ranked in the top five.
That's right.
I think overall they're 13-1. They're off for another like 7 days, I think, because they're in a 14-day COVID protocol. Too many people in the – in fact, the whole athletics department shut down because just too many positive cases. So I'm looking forward to that coming back because this is one of the few things we have. And after the miserable football season Michigan had, I am so glad that the Michigan basketball team is doing well.
Yeah, keep hoping that the Wolfpack and the Wolverines will be able to make up that game that they missed because of COVID.
But the main thing is just getting the big dance in March, and then we'll have a good old time.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Carlos is going to join us in 1 minute. Before we get to that, I want to give recognition to our sponsor. He is author Jeff Ballister. And his book is actually the sponsor of the show. He wants to get out this message on a book he wrote called God Doesn't Play a Zone Defense. You can find out more about Jeff. You can find out more about this book, why he wrote this book, if you go to GodDoesn'tPlayAZoneDefense.com. Thank you, Jeff Ballister, for being the sponsor of the show. Folks, check out that book. And even though it's not Christmas anymore, it's a great stocking stuffer. And Chris will attest to this. Nice package. We won't spend too much money on packaging, wrapping, or boxes or anything. Give it to somebody that you know that likes sports, in particular basketball, and they want to grab on, they want to get a deeper hold on their faith. I think this is the book for
them. That's right. It'd be a perfect gift for your sweetheart with Valentine's Day coming up.
I knew you would find some way to wrap that into something coming up. There you go, brother. Listen, I want to thank you folks for joining us here on Carolina Catholic Radio and all of our listeners on Radio Maria as well. You're listening to Faith in Sport. Listen, let's bring on Carlos Herrera right now. We'll talk
Lolitos!
About Lolitos! And we're going to talk about hit and miss and other stuff in the world of sport. Carlos Herrera, welcome back to the show, buddy.
Great to be back on, Dr. John Aquaviva.
Okay, listen, before we get started, I'm going to read in a little bit from a statement from the U.S. Catholic bishops in response to something you and I talked about last week on the transgender issue, especially within sport. But also, after Carlos, you were on the show, our guest was Dr. Gerald McDermott. He's a theology and philosophy professor, and he was talking about affirmative action, and he was talking about fairness basically within the world of sport and outside of the world of sport when it's and the issues that he expressed when it deals with race and discrimination. And I just want to read this from the Catholic Catechism on that very this addresses it actually very directly. The equality of men rests essentially on their own dignity as persons and the rights that flow from it. Every form of social or cultural discrimination and fundamental personal rights on the ground of sex, race, color, social conditions, language, or religion must be curbed and eradicated as incompatible with God's design. On coming into this world, however, man is not equipped with everything he needs for developing his bodily and spiritual life. He needs others. Differences appear tied to age, physical abilities, intellectual or moral aptitudes, the benefits derived from social commerce, and the distribution of wealth. These talents are not distributed equally. These differences belong to God's plan. And this is the Catechism basically supporting what Dr. McDermott mentioned, and that we try to even this playing field in our culture a lot, and because we have different intellectual and moral aptitudes, different physical abilities, age is a factor, that these are not equally distributed. So please take this these writings to heart. And by the way, it is in our catechism, paragraphs number 1935 and 1936 that I just read from. So I just wanted to clarify that and maybe make you feel better about some of the comments that Dr. McDermott said that may have made you feel a little uncomfortable, especially in this overly sensitive or very sensitive year or so that we've experienced in our culture.
Absolutely. I think, Dr. Aquaviva, the catechism is, I mean, most people, I don't think, have one or even, have a chance, if they do have one, to have read it. But it is some really beautiful, well thought out, and quite frankly, a lot of what I read, I just feel like it's definitely guided by the Holy Spirit. It's yep. just so well written and makes sense to me. And what you just read, I think one of the things that is very straightforward is, and people forget this, is that we're all different. We have equal rights, but we're all not the same. We're not created the same. And when you're not created the same, that means some people have more talent or more capabilities than others. And the goal is not to make everybody the same, okay. right? The goal is to live life according to what you've been given and to have similar opportunities or the same opportunities and not be discriminated upon because your opportunities might be different. But keeping that in mind, there are differences that you cannot change.
That's right. Well stated. Brother, let's get a little more light in this conversation. Well, actually, just to a degree, because we're going to go down a different path of what a lot of people find, they're a little uncomfortable with the conversation about the transgender issue, but we're going to get into our topic that we always get into in the first part of our conversation, that is the hit and miss of the world of sport. And yours is a hit, right, in the world of because of the transgender issue. So go ahead.
So this is a hit, and this is following on to what we've been talking about. And the only reason I bring it up, I talked about it at the last show and the hit or miss, and I'm bringing it up again because I think it is very important. This comes from news article. It says that two Idaho State University runners, female runners, one of them in particular, Madison Kenyon, spoke Monday on Fox News versus Biden's new executive order. She's citing her experience competing against transgender athletes, and which I find very interesting that they, both her and her attorney, Christiana Holcomb, which I mentioned, was mentioned as well in last week's show, who's the attorney for, or she's the legal counsel for Alliance Defending Freedom, which basically is an organization that tries to protect, religious rights and discrimination based on that. And so in this particular sort of evolution of this topic, Madison Kenyon, who is a runner, stated that she's frustrated and unmotivated by the fact that she has to compete against, and this is, I think, the description that they're starting to use, is biological men. Mm-hmm. She says she's frustrated and unmotivated competing against biological men, watching them win, and seeing them stand on the podium. And this kind of goes back to this sense that it's fair for everybody to have an opportunity to compete, but it's not fair that a biological woman has to compete against a biological man, whether they feel that they are aligned with it, identify with it. The reality is the biology is different, and therefore is not the same, and there shouldn't be competition. And there is federal law that states, and it's very clear, that women and men have to have equal opportunities to play. Can't have more male sports, and that's based on Title IX. Can't have more male sports than female sports. You have to have a certain percentage based on the population of your particular university. Okay. But the whole idea is to have competition to be fair and for it to take into account that women are different than men. And men should compete with men, and women should compete with men.
Very good. Folks, you're listening to Faith in Sport. I'm Dr. John Acquaviva, being joined, as I am, by most Mondays, and that is Carlos Herrera joins us for a conversation about sport. In particular, we talk about our hit and misses of the world of sport. So if you're listening on Carolina Catholic Radio or Radio Maria, welcome to the show, especially if you just joined us. And we're talking about legislation and a lawsuit, in fact, that has come about as the result of allowing transgender males, in particular, competing against females. You know, I'm going to piggyback that, Carlos, with a story that a couple student athletes told me just within the last 6 months. They are female volleyball players at the college level. And they shared with me that one of their rivals in the sport of volleyball was led by this transgendered female. In other words, this guy was playing male volleyball just a couple years before in high school, and this person was a star on their college volleyball team. These girls that shared this story with me, part of the story was they had recently talked to some of the girls from this team, and these girls from this team shared the following, that they always hoped that when they won, which they did on most occasions, they were a winning program, that when they won, they always hoped that this transgendered female did not do well. Then, and the reason was because they felt better about the win. In other words, when they won, when she did well, they actually felt guilty, because they said she jumped higher, she was stronger, and she had more stamina than most of the other girls, if not all of the other girls. And they downright felt guilty when their team won, especially when this person was leading. And I thought, wow, what a powerful statement that is.
It is a powerful statement, but, I mean, think about it in our sporting careers, and anybody who has played sports, or even if you have been a referee or coach, and you have a player, you know, who is bigger and taller, you know, and sometimes it's, you know, from an age group perspective, they were either put back a year academically, so they're eligible to play on a particular sport, but physically they may be a year advanced. That in and of itself creates, you know, the sense that they're, you know, they have an unfair advantage.
Absolutely.
And most people that play on teams, when they know that they have a kind of an unfair advantage, it's hard. I mean, I don't, maybe not everybody feels this way, but I think for the majority of people, they feel like it's unfair, right? Like, we're winning, but, you know, we have this sort of player who is, you know, bigger, stronger, faster, right, than the majority of everybody else. That kind of detracts from competition and the feeling that you get when you win. and when you compete.
That's right. Folks, you're listening to Faith in Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio. It's a co-production of Radio Maria. Thank you for joining us on the show today. Carlos and I are talking about our hit or miss in the world of sport. Carlos, I'm going to jump ship from that and talk about, and there's always more to talk about that, and I think ultimately we are going to be fed stories, we're going to be fed conversation pieces, because this story is not going away, and I think you would agree, and many people would agree with me, and this is going to be a probably a lifelong fight. This is something that we never even thought of 10 years ago, I think, but this is, I think, going to be a lifelong fight. Our children are going to keep making this fight, and this fight's going to not go away, unfortunately, and there's going to be people always on both sides of this argument. I want to jump and talk about my miss, and mine is, simply put, it's to those who have always thought there is no relationship between politics and sport. In fact, coming off of this year of there was a lot of politics in our culture, this anytime there is an election, I think we're overrun by that rhetoric and everything going on and the candidates and the speeches and so forth. But, Carlos, when you were here a couple weeks ago, I remember you and I and my wife, Alicia, were talking about this. And to a degree, you and Alicia were laughing at me, literally making fun of me, because I was basically unaware of all of the monies that went from the major sports teams to Washington. And do you remember the conversation when we were all sitting in the living room?
And absolutely.
Yeah. And this is from Newsweek magazine, and they did a story, and the name of the story is Political Contributions by Pro Sports Owners. And this is broken down over the last 3 or 4 years. And listen to this. This is total contributions from the major sports teams, the NHL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, and the NFL. In 2020, $10,022,000 went to Republicans. In 2020, $1,800,000 went to Democrats. So a total of about $12 million were given to political parties or particular candidates. In 2018, which was the last political cycle, as you folks know, the general election is every 4 years, but every 2 years, there's specific elections, right, for senators and congresspeople and so forth. 2018, the total was $15 million to both Republicans and Democrats. 2016, a total of $16.9 million. Unbelievable. Now, granted, most of the money went to Republicans, and part of it was, for instance, to keeping, like, in particular, there was this one law that they were lobbying, basically, to the Republican senators and congressmen and women to be exempt from the, they wanted their players exempt from certain standards of pay. And, of course, there's so much money in professional sport that the, for instance, the minimum amount of money given to a professional athlete is much higher than the minimum wage paid to an everyday worker and so forth. And this goes out to me and everybody else who thought that politics and sport had no relationship. Now, there's a lot of avenues we can walk down here, Carlos, but what's your thought as I read or said some of those statements?
Well, I think it's surprising when you start talking about the amount of money. And obviously sports, it's very different when you're talking professional sports as opposed to collegiate sports or even youth sports, because, you know, that really isn't part of it. But when you're talking about professional sports, you're actually talking about a business. And the sports teams are owned by a person or a collection of people, and all of those have special interests, as do the players, and why they join. You know, they have a union to help counteract the leverage that the owners have, right? So, you know, the union looks out for the players, and they can have many times conflicting or competing interests. And the owners, who, you know, are multi-million, some case billionaires, they have other things that are important. So they're looking for the groups that will help and facilitate the issues that are important to them or that will, affect their bottom line. But certainly this year, politically, I've never seen this, and I'm, you know, personally, I'm not in favor of injecting politics when you're playing sports. But you know, everybody is gotten involved with politics in sports, and this particularly the election year, and with what's been happening in terms of socially, yeah, and culturally.
Yeah, in fact, this is ultimately not a real surprise, especially when you look on why these political donations are made. Now, and granted, some of them, these monies that we talked about, some of them are personal donations from the owners directly to the politicians, but some of them come directly from the Major League Baseball or the NBA. In fact, the two biggest donors are the NFL and NASCAR. I didn't even mention NASCAR, and they give a lot of money, and they go to Republicans, and part of it is to, I don't know, what's for legislation to be passed that doesn't slam the rich guy. My guess is that's part of it, is that these guys want to protect that, and they want, like most people, they want to keep most of their money. They don't want to see it go to taxes, and so you know, that's part of our culture, and that's part of the culture of sport, that these people are rich and they want to keep most of the profits that they make. Folks, if you're just joining us, I'm Dr. John Acquaviva. This is Faith and Sport, where we merge sport and virtue. You're listening either to Carolina Catholic Radio or Radio Maria. Either way, welcome to the show. Carlos and I are talking about our hit or miss of the, in the world of sport. And Carlos, I want to go back to your miss or hit, actually, dealing with athletes that are suing particular bodies because they're allowing, in this case, and in so many cases, it's problematic because girls are competing at the college level or at the high school level, and males who were, they were boys just a year or so before, are now transgendered females, and they're dominating some of those sports. Track and field is probably the one that's at the forefront. And I want to read this, Carlos, from the United States Catholic Bishops. And this is a statement on the transgender issue regarding sport. Youth who experience gender identity discordance should be assured the right to participate in or try out for student athletics on the same terms as any of their peers in coeducational activities or where sexes are separated in accord with their given sex, said the bishops, adding that harassment or unjust discrimination against them in this regard is unequivocally immoral. The bishops advocated for a loving response to these students, saying that it would assist in developing a genuine peace with their mind and body rather than facilitating drastic transitions in pursuit of identity fully independent of their physical body. They went on to say, allowing male students, however, to participate in athletics with girls can be both unfair and, especially in high-contact sports, unsafe, said the bishops. While they acknowledge that some women have been able to play successfully in mostly male sports, any time a policy facilitating such male competition takes an athletic opportunity away from a female, it is a loss for basic fairness and the spirit of Title IX. So they went on to support your point just there, that fairness in and of itself is an arbitrary term. And what we want is justice. And that's what the bishops want, Carlos. That's what I think people of God want. And certainly that's what the catechism states is justice. And fairness can be defined in any which way, from any different person, from any angle, whereas justice is defined by God's natural law. And that's why there's a difference between those two. And we have to just be careful to use the word fairness.
I think the fact that you've brought this up, that you're going to, you know, people are going to be hearing about it, is because right now we are living through it. That executive order that was signed, I think either the same day that Biden took office or the following day, really kind of put further pressure on this. And for female athletes and those that are trying to support the fairness to the women and the girls that are competing against biological males, really to the forefront, and there's going to be a lot more of this coming out in the news.
Absolutely. And I want to end with this point, and this is just showing just how big it is and how powerful this community can be, you know, the LGBTQ community can be. Carlos, you're a tennis guy, and you are very aware of Martina Navratilova, and she was one of the greatest tennis champions in the world of sport, and in particular in women's tennis. And she is a self-pronounced lesbian. And she came out as lesbian decades ago. And she was on this, I think it was an international committee that basically oversaw tennis, but in particular from the angle of this LGBT community. And it was last year, Carlos, that she spoke out against transgendered females competing against naturally born females. She spoke out against it publicly, and she mentioned this publicly, and she was removed from that committee. And I thought
she was slammed politically. Everybody who was on the LGBTQ side, I think they keep adding letters to this as nuances appear the horizon. But she was totally slammed. She was, you know, everybody talked about boycotting her. They talked about setting back the LGBTQ community's rights by that. But here is a person who honestly understands the differences biologically. And she actually competed in a kind of a funny way when, I forget the guy's name, but this tennis player wanted to play Navratilova, and he was this kind of male chauvinist. I think he was doing it for fun, was saying that he could beat her in a game, and she ended up beating him. I forget who, I'll have to look that up for next time. But she ended up beating the guy, and it was a big deal because, he was a male playing against a female, but she knows the power and the difference. I mean, you could just tell by radar the speed at which a male can hit a first serve compared to a female, and that's reality, biological reality that we're dealing with. And you're talking about changing that and pretending it doesn't exist. That definitely is going to be unfair to somebody.
I love that. I'm going to coin that term, biological reality. And to finish up that, she experienced, now who would have thought a female that is lesbian could experience directly the cancel culture that so many people are experiencing. I thought that was powerful. Carlos Herrera, thank you, buddy. We'll have another discussion the next time you're on. You take care, buddy, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me on. Have a great show and a great week.
Thank you, buddy.
Lolitos.
There you go. Carlos Herrera, a certified youth soccer coach in the Northern Virginia area. In fact, he has been housebound because I think they had he told me they had 4 inches of snow yesterday, and then overnight they had icy rain, or they had freezing rain. So he just goes, I'm not going anywhere. So he did the show from his home. Normally he's like bolting around to his offices, talking to us in his car and so forth. So listen, right after the break, folks, we have John LaManna. He is the head basketball coach at Whitman College in Washington, and he instills the Catholic virtues at this public university into his players, and he does it with particular actions and words that he'll share with us. But first, before we have the break, let's do our weekend headlines. Chris, we got some music.
Let's go.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat. The human drama of athletic competition.
It's time for Weekend Headlines with Dr. John Aquaviva on Faith and Sport.
Here we go, folks. Here's what's going on in the world. Not everything, but some things. In the PGA, the tour is again underway. An American, Patrick Reed, finishes 14 under to take the Farmers Insurance Open. The Phoenix Open is next on the slate, starting later this week. The NHL, the Florida Panthers, and the Washington Capitals remain the only unbeaten teams and are atop their respective divisions. Teams continue to go in and out of COVID protocol, so your team's game may or may not be played and can be canceled at any moment, so be prepared for that, hockey fans. In the NHL, it's Super Bowl week. The Tampa Bay Bucks will meet the Kansas City Chiefs for the Super Bowl this weekend. It's the first time in its 50-plus year history that one of the teams will be playing in their home stadium. Like Tom Brady needs any more advantages that he already has.
Yeah, it's just the same old Super Bowl with Tom Brady, just in a different uniform.
I know, unbelievable. If I'm not mistaken, this is his 10th appearance, and there's been less than 60 Super Bowls. That means he's right around like 17-18% of all the Super Bowls he's appeared in. And folks, trust me, that's an incredibly high percentage.
He keeps on getting Super Bowl ring. He's going to run out of fingers to put them on.
Well, I think he already has. In Major League Baseball, no one was inducted in the Hall of Fame in last week's votes. In fact, players are still being dogged on suspicion of using performance enhancement drugs. But now it's February, and on a lighter note, we can say baseball starts this month. Most teams' pitchers and catchers report in just 2 weeks. Chris, before we sign off, brother, are you going to watch the Super Bowl?
Yes, I am.
Do you watch all the pregame stuff, the halftime stuff, or are you just focusing on the game?
Focusing on the game, but I watch the halftime stuff. Also, see what awesome commercials they're going to come up with this year.
Yeah, that's right. Everybody looks forward to that. We'll talk a little bit about that next week. So there you have it, folks. Sports headlines that may or may not change your life.
You are listening to Faith and Sport on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network, 1270 AM Charlotte. Also streaming at carolinacatholicradio.org and on the Carolina Catholic Radio app. We're also a co-production of Radio Maria, so thank you for tuning in. All to our Radio Maria listeners, make sure you stay tuned in because right after the break, we've got more Faith and Sport coming your way. So stay tuned for more Faith and Sport right after the break.
AM 1270 Catholic Radio Charlotte is a 100% listener-supported 501c3 nonprofit. Please donate, volunteer, and pray for us.
This is Jason Murphy from the Obligation Radio Show here on AM 1270. The 11th Annual Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas is set for Saturday, March 20th at St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church in North Charlotte. Speakers include EWTN's own Bear Wozniak, Belmont Abbey College President Dr. Bill Therfelder, Dr. John Acquaviva from Wingate University and host of Faith and Sport on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network, and my own partner in crime on the Obligation Radio Show and business life coach, John Eads. Mass will be offered by Bishop Peter Jugas and assisted by the seminarians of St. Joseph Seminary. It will be a day of faith and fellowship with talks, Mass, rosary, and lunch. Sign up today at CatholicMenOfTheCarolinas.org and also find us on Facebook and Instagram. Virtual ticket options are also available. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. God bless, and Esto Vir.
Teachers that care, professors that care about you. Just an awesome experience all around.
There's peace here. There's encouragement here.
Faculty, everybody that works here, they really set you up for success.
I don't think I have ever felt as loved and as supported and as encouraged as I have at the Abbey.
There's something here that's underlying and intrinsic. It's like a spirit of love and community. And I think the spirit is God's presence here.
Belmont Abbey College, a world away, but close to home. Visit us at belmontabbeycollege.edu.
Hello, this is Pepper Martin on Carolina Catholic Radio Network. I am your host of Keeping Catholic Real, and we want to hear from you, the listening audience. I know how much my faith grows more and more every time I talk to other Catholics and hear their stories. We are all God's children, and every one of us has an amazing story about our faith, whether it was a moment in time where God was revealed or when you think God really spoke to you. We know you have something to contribute, and we want to hear it. If you would like to share your stories and experiences about how you keep Catholic real in your life, or if you have a specific topic you would like to hear about, contact us by email at feedback@carolinacatholicradio.org. This is Pepper Martin, and again, that email is feedback@carolinacatholicradio.org. I look forward to hearing what you have to offer.
Carolina Catholic Radio is your local EWTN parish and community connection, bringing you local news and information from over 100 parishes in the Charlotte Diocese and Rock Hill Oratory. Catch the spirit. Prayerfully consider a tax-deductible donation today at carolinacatholicradio.org.
Welcome back to more Faith and Sport on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network, 1270 AM Charlotte. Also streaming at carolinacatholicradio.org and on the Carolina Catholic Radio app. Welcome back to all of our Radio Maria listeners tuned in on Radio Maria. We are a co-production of Radio Maria, so glad to have you listeners tuned in as well. It's Faith and Sport. I'm Chris, the producer of the show. And now here he is once again, the one, the only, you know him as Dr. John Acquaviva.
Folks, welcome back to the show. It's funny that you say they know me as. I don't know if anybody else knows me as anything else. But actually, you know, when I was in college, I was playing baseball, right? And we were at some school in West Virginia. This is Division II, and there wasn't many people at the game. But there was a press box, and, you know, there was an announcer for the game, right? Like, now batting number 45, Chris Pressler, right? And my coach, gave them the roster. And when I came up to bat the very first time, I step out of the batter's box, and he's looking down at me, giving me signs, and the public address announcer, which is right above him, right, has this microphone, and he goes, now batting number 13, John Arguinella. It was so bad that my coach stopped giving signs and looked up to him, and he goes, it's Acquaviva. Like, how do you mess that up? It's Acquaviva. But, of course, people mess that up all the time. Our guesses wouldn't mess that name up too much, because my guess is with a name like LaManna, that this dude is Italian and he's ethnic and he's Catholic. He's probably heard a million people named Acquaviva or something like it. So when he sees my name, he probably knows how to pronounce it. So basketball coach John LaManna, he's going to join us in 1 minute. But you want to listen to what this guy says. He's awesome. He has a great experience at Catholic universities as their basketball coach. He was previously at Ave Maria. He was previously at Franciscan University. But now he's in his first year of coaching basketball at Whitman College. But he took over. He brought with him, I should say, this virtue development program that is the Catholic virtues. But he knows, like I do and like so many other people, this is universal language, and our country, our world is a better place when people inherit and take on these virtues. And so he's going to talk to us about that in 1 minute. After that, we're going to do our quick Q&A with Dr. A. And Chris, I have to mention to the people, especially if they're new listeners to the show, I was asking you whether you're going to watch the Super Bowl. And would probably be borderline criminal or against the law of a guy who has a radio show and deals with sports not to watch the Super Bowl.
That's right.
But you know, I haven't watched any football this year, and I'm going to continue through the Super Bowl. I may watch next year, 2021 NFL regular season, but I haven't watched the NBA or the NFL this year, not even for 1 minute, because they're overstepping, I think, of their political involvement in the world of sport. So it has to carry on. So I may tune in for a commercial or two, but you know what I may do, just so I can talk about them on the show next week, is I may just go to YouTube and watch the best ones. Mm-hmm. That way, Ed and I'll have something to talk about. You can chime in on what's your favorite one. But you know what's interesting? They're thinking about going away from the funny ones because of this simple thing. They're like, this is not the year to be funny. And I go, this is especially the year to be funny. We need humor.
I know.
We need all the humor we can get.
You don't need to be more depressed.
That's right. Don't give us some stuff that's going to make us, you know, depressed or unhappy. Give us funny.
Yeah.
A lot of those things are funny. Some of them are funny, right? Mm-hmm. They try really hard, and some of them just don't deliver. But anyway, so that's why, folks, you're not going to hear me talk too much about the actual game itself. Folks, you're listening to Faith and Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio. It's a co-production of Radio Maria. Listen, I was talking about my guest a couple times throughout the program. He is John LaManna. He is the current basketball coach at Whitman College out in Washington. Coach LaManna, welcome back to the show.
Hi, John. Thank you so much for having me on again.
Oh, this is fantastic, brother. In fact, when I was talking about you in the beginning of the show, I said, not only is John a regular guest on the show, but I consider you a friend of the show. And this show is made up of people like you, because I talk about sport and virtue all the time, but I love it because you are a great example of someone who lives it out through their job, in this case, as a basketball coach. So let's get right into it. So you have developed this virtue development program, and in this program, you establish to recruits, and then you establish as a part of like the everyday practices, and it's just an integral part of your team. Tell us what virtue development is, John.
So first and foremost, I couldn't even imagine coaching without virtue development. As we look at this, and in any sport, as we look at what is the job of the coach, and it's about, you know, building a team, trying to get the team to grow, to be the best they can be, to reach their potential, and have each individual grow to reach their potential. I mean, plain and simple, is that not what virtue really is in our lives, in all aspect of all that we do? And so, this has been such an important piece in regards to everything that I do, from recruiting to working with the young men that are currently in our program. And the thing that's beautiful about virtue is that, John, as you shared, it speaks to everybody. It speaks to everything. It's a common denominator. It's a common language in which we as humans can understand and can appreciate. And it's how is that explained and how is that addressed through sport can be really transformative. And that's what we've been doing, and that's what I've been blessed to be able to have an opportunity to do within my coaching career. And it's one thing that attracted me as a candidate to Whitman College is this idea of virtue development.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so we're all in here doing it.
Love
it. So it's a lot of fun.
And you're all in, despite you being relatively new there. And you told me off air in preparation for this on air discussion that this was something that was very known to the people that were in the position of hiring you. You're like, listen, this is what I'm about. I don't want to, and I'm putting words in your situation, but basically you said, I want to bring this, I want to carry this virtue development to Whitman. And not only was it okayed, it was welcomed, wasn't it?
Oh man, it was really welcomed with open arms, and really was the key in terms of my candidacy for the position, I believe,
awesome.
Because it's a Division III job, but it's a high level Division III job, a very well sought after position, and it's really the concept of how we are ingraining virtue into the game of basketball, and it was a piece that sold the committee and the school. And so I'm very fortunate and blessed to have the opportunity to do that here.
Awesome. Folks, we're talking to Coach John LaManna. He's the head basketball coach at Whitman College out in Washington. He has a lot of experience as a head basketball coach. He's formerly at two Catholic universities, Ave Maria in Florida and Franciscan University in Ohio. And now he's taken his position and ultimately this virtue development program that he has. And John, correct me, but these are after the cardinal virtues of prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. And tell us how you instill, what's a specific example or examples in which you instill these virtues into practice or these players, game situation? Tell us how you do this.
So it becomes the vocabulary that we use. And so just great examples in regards to what we do. It is the four cardinal virtues, and we break our season up into four segments, and those four segments represent each one of the virtues of those four virtues. And so then we have what's called practice captains, and so we have two a week, and one of our students leads off practice and the other one ends practice. And what they do is they're tasked with a homework assignment to where they go and they have to find a quote or something in regards to that specific virtue that we're on during that period of the season. So like we just ended with prudence and we're now in justice right now. And so our practice captains come with a quote or something about justice. And then they share it, and then they talk about how is this applicable to what's going on with our program and our team right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so not only are they doing research about the virtue, but now they're applying it directly with the current state in which they're experiencing the sport with a team.
Mm-hmm.
And then they turn and they give an example of a teammate being just. And it's acknowledged out loud in front of everybody on why that teammate was just. And so then it starts perpetuating this idea of wanting to live out and be virtuous in all that we do. And then it flows into our vocabulary and terminology in games and in practice, in our scouting reports. So we talk about temperance, right? Being able to control and balance our emotions. And so we talk about being temperate as a basketball player, and what does this mean? And so when the players start utilizing and using that terminology directly involved with sport, that's when we really start knowing that there's understanding and comprehension, and we see the fruits of it over the course of their 4 years with us.
Absolutely. Folks, you're listening to Faith and Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio. It's a co-production of Radio Maria. Our guest today is Coach John LaManna, the head basketball coach at Whitman College. And he's talking about his virtue development program. Coach, I think that's a really neat idea. And of course, it's and to give credit to anybody else, if it's due, did you create this, or did you get this? Did you take a page from somebody else, like when you were a young, maybe assistant coach, somebody that integrated such development into their team? I'm wondering if, like, what allowed this to sprout within you?
So, great question. So it started when I was at Franciscan. So I got connected with Sports Leader, specifically Lou Judd, and Sports Leader has an awesome virtue program. Yep. That are in high schools all across the country and in different parochial, just grade schools in general and so forth, Catholic schools. And so getting to know Lou and their programming, it really kind of tipped off. This is an area that, it's the reason why I got into coaching, but it was an area that I wasn't well focused in. And so the Sports Leader program allowed me to really get myself more acquainted and refocused in regards to how to really incorporate virtue. And so speaking with Lou and going through this, I've been able to develop just uniquely how we integrate it, and more specifically the cardinal virtues than just tapping into all virtues. And those allow us to be a little more hyper-focused. And I think the players, the students are able to understand a little better the importance of the of virtue in their life because
sure.
of that.
John LaManna, so how early on, let's say I'm a recruit, right? I'm a senior in college or senior in high school right now. I'm thinking about Whitman, among a couple other schools. You contact me, it's either via a phone call or an email, probably the first reach out. But after these initial conversations you have with me and you're showing your level of interest, let's say you're really interested in me as a player, how soon, and this is just purely curiosity speaking, how soon in the process of recruiting do you introduce this virtue development program, that they are coming to a program in which they are expected to develop themselves intellectually, develop themselves as a basketball player in your program, but also develop themselves in virtue? Like, how soon do they get this kind of thrown upon them?
That's a wonderful question. So we do it actually early on in the recruiting process, not in the first conversation, but if we're getting into our third, fourth conversation and we start looking at, okay, is this recruit trying to schedule a campus visit? Prior to the campus visit, we're getting on this and we're nailing this home in regards to how important this is for our program, because First and foremost, we don't want to pretend to be something that we're not.
Yep.
And I really believe that if these young students really go through a proper discernment process on where they should go and play collegiate sport they're going to play, but in my case, collegiate basketball, then what I'm sharing with them should kind of really be a calling to where they sit there and they're really attracted to it. And if it's not, it's going to kind of be a little bit kind of repulsive to them. And I don't mean that in a negative way, and I use that word strongly, but it's true. And because that's not who we want in our program, because I'm not going to be a very good coach for them. So we share this early on, share it with the student, share it with the parents, so that they're really clear to hear what the kind of the uniqueness of our program. And we have found that that's been not just a good indicator in regards to how well we've been able to recruit, but really what it's done is that it's helped weed out and process to make sure that we're getting in the right type of individuals that fit the culture of the team. And they have an opportunity now to really experience growth, because I can't require the growth. All we can do is like in Matthew 4:20. I mean, it's just, are we watering? You know, we just got to sow the seeds, and we just got to keep watering. And that's what the virtues are. We're just watering, and God's going to decide if it's going to sprout or not. And so we need individuals that are open to that watering.
Absolutely. Folks, we're talking with John LaManna, the head basketball coach at Whitman College in the state of Washington, and he's talking to us about his virtue development program, which is based on the cardinal virtues, which is rooted in the teachings of St. Thomas Aquinas. Let me follow up and end with really with this. John, you have a unique situation this year in that you were at, for instance, Ave Maria and Franciscan for close to a decade, correct? Total?
Yeah, that's correct.
All right, so
yeah,
when you...
9 years, yeah.
So when you came to Whitman, there are players that were already part of the program. Are those... That must have been a challenge in itself as to... Because they're used to a completely different program under the guidance of a different coach, of a different philosophy and so forth. Was that a challenge, or did they... You found that their hearts were open to these virtues as well?
You know what? Their hearts were open, which was awesome. And it starts with just our daily conversations and weekly conversations that we have. And so I meet with each player for 30 minutes once a week. And it started this past summer. And we just talk. And And we talk about the virtues. And we have discussions about the virtues. And through those discussions, all of a sudden, their hearts open up more, and they're more willing to listen in regards to the importance of virtue in their life. And again, it goes back to the virtues are really it's a universal language, and it's hard to argue against virtue. It really
That's right.
is.
That's right.
And so as we get through those discussions, they were really open and they desire it. And that's the part that's beautiful, is when they're really eager and looking forward to having the discussions. And that's what I've been able to experience thus far.
Oh, that's awesome. I love the fact that, in fact, basketball is one of the few sports in which you can have these 30-minute meetings once a week, because the rosters are ultimately relatively small, at least in comparison to other sports. And that is, you probably see that as a gift in itself. I mean, think about it. The football team, you know, at most programs is, you know, anywhere between probably 50 and 120 players, and track and field. Like at our university, I think it's combined with cross country and track and field, men's and women's, I think it's over 100 kids. And think about it, trying to have conversations like that. So that's one of the gifts of a basketball program, and your basketball program in particular. So let's end on this note, John LaManna. How are you guys doing so far on the court?
So we're a bit slower than normal than we'd like to be. So we're
like Aquaviva. I can't believe that you did that to me.
No, it's fine. We're 1-3 on the season, but our three losses have all. It's been a one possession game with a minute to play, and we have we're a young team. We have. Seven new players that are in the program, and we have a small roster due to COVID. We only have 10 guys in the program. So with only three returners and seven new players, I'm really pleased with actually where we're at, and we're progressing in the right direction. So it's just, it's a matter of time where we're going to get the corner turned here. So
John, I would have to imagine that there's a lot of truth in the following statement that, the you know, coaches are under a lot of pressure, and of course the more you go up the ranks from Division 3 to Division 2, Division 3, Division 1 to the, you know, the professional ranks and so forth. But coaches are under a lot of pressure, and that pressure comes out in a lot of ways, and winning and losing is a big part of not only of who they are as coaches, but it's who they are as people, right? If I'm a winner, I win. If I'm a loser, you know, if I lose, then I must be a loser and so forth. But I would think, John, that knowing, teaching, and fully believing in these cardinal virtues puts it all in perspective and makes you there's more peace with your job, isn't there?
Oh, it's night and day. And it's so funny that before, when I didn't have these, when I wasn't really integrating virtue as focused as I am now, I did found that I was just being pulled with the results, and the results dictated my behavior and how I coached and everything, and I had no peace. And it's amazing that the peace that the virtue development really brings. Because if you really believe that that's the importance, and that's where everything should be, and that should be the emphasis, then the wins and losses are merely a result of just doing what you're supposed to be doing. And what I mean is that the wins will come when they're supposed to come, and the losses come, and we have to praise God through those losses and find His graces in them. And Absolutely. It just brings a lot different perspective.
Well, brother, you always have a lot of good stuff to say, and I'd like to think in a few months, if I reach out again, that you'll come back on the show and talk to us more about this stuff and talk to us about how your team's accepting all this, the teachings.
No, I appreciate it, John. Thanks for having me on. And anytime, I love being on the program, and I'm a huge fan of your show. So.
I appreciate that. And thank you for all you've done for the faith, brother, and especially bringing moral development to our young athletes. John Lamanna, you have a good day, brother. Thanks again.
Thanks, you too. Thanks.
Okay, bud. There you go, folks. John Lamanna, the head basketball coach at Whitman College in Washington. That was a different conversation. And that's exactly why we do this show. That's exactly why and how the faith hopes to, there shouldn't be a separation between faith and sport. That's the whole reason for the show, is that we can greatly integrate the issue of faith and of virtue into sport. And John Lamanna at Whitman College is doing just that. Unfortunately, he's probably one of the few that actually directly address these virtues. And not only does that, they have homework assignments virtually every week, every practice. And one player shares not only what the virtue is about, but how he's seeing this played out on his team. So congratulations, because he deserves a congratulations, not on a win or loss, but winning in this battle to develop our youth in a virtuous manner. So that's John Lamanna from Whitman. All right, we got a few minutes left. We always do, or just about every week, we do the quick Q&A with Dr. A. I think we have time for one question. Chris, shoot it at me.
And that question is, how did the first weekend of online gambling go in Michigan? Okay, since you're from Michigan.
I know, this is interesting, but it's just that it just so happens that although it is my home state, they just had their first weekend of online gambling last weekend. Now, by the way, there's 18 states now that have accepted this, and it's become law that they can do online gambling legally. And I think there's literally, like, over the next 2 years, at least a dozen are expected to do that. But, Chris, listen to this. They announced, and this I thought this was interesting, there was at least two individual bets of $100,000 in which the bettor lost. And you know what's interesting? One of the bettors that lost $100,000, I think it was on the Red Wings. And folks, they are the odds-on favorite to have the worst record in the NHL this year. So that was brave to do that, right? He's probably a big fan in his heart. And he said something, and I'm paraphrasing, but after he said publicly, yes, I was one of the people that lost $100,000 on a single bet, he said, I'm rich, so I can afford it. Talk about speaking plainly. I thought that was amazing. Anyway, folks, we've talked about gambling, and does it conflict with our Christian faith? And as we talked about, the catechism actually talks directly about it, that as long as it does not interfere with you supplying your body with the food that it needs and the roof over your head, or the family is not going to be affected in any manner, it's thought to be a okay thing. It's not against the teachings of the church in any way. Mm-hmm. But I thought I'd mention that in light of this recent development in Michigan. And they did say that it was overall really successful, needless to say, because most people lose when you gamble. Yeah. In fact, this is true. I know this guy who for years bet on football games and would lose. This is a true story. And would lose just about every year. And you know when he finally started making money? Is when he stopped betting on the games and became the bookie. Because everybody loses, right? They do what's called chase their money after a while. Mm-hmm. They're like, I lost the first three games today, tonight for the Sunday night game. I'm going to bet double that amount. And of course, they start making irrational decisions, right? And the bookie just, they rub their hands like they're the evil, the evil cartoon character, like, what do you call this? Wrenching their hands.
Yeah.
Like, more money's coming in. So anyway, thought I'd share that. So there you go, folks. That's Faith and Sport for today. In conclusion, as we always do, we end with this a quote. And this time, I'm going to give you the quote again from John Paul II. It's so great. We're going to go after it. We're going to mention it for the last couple months. In fact, this is our quote, in which it says, Give thanks to God for the gift of sport in which the human person exercises his body, intellect, and will, recognizing these abilities as so many gifts of his creator. Again, that comes from John Paul II, our newly canonized saint, of course, in the church. Before we go, I want to give special thanks to Carlos Herrera and to Coach John LaManna for joining me on the show today. I'm Dr. John Aquaviva. Please join us next time here on Carolina Catholic Radio and Radio Maria for more Faith in Sport.
You've been listening to Faith and Sport on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network, 1270 AM Charlotte. Also streaming at carolinacatholicradio.org and on the Carolina Catholic Radio app. I want to thank all of our Carolina Catholic Radio listeners for tuning in to Faith and Sport today. And also thank all of our Radio Maria listeners for tuning in as well. And invite you to tune again next week for an all-new edition of Faith and Sport, when we welcome our good buddy Ed Billick back to the studio for more Faith and Sport. And for all of you Faith and Sport fans that can't get enough Faith and Sport, check out Faith and Sport on demand at CarolinaCatholicRadio.org.
Catch the spirit, learn, love, and live your faith. AM 1270, Catholic Radio, WCGC Belmont, where Charlotte grows in Christ. Flagship station of the Carolina Catholic Radio Network.